Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Let me get to this topic on Choose Good Friends. The material I was sent had to do with David and Jonathan. I'm not going to really talk too much about them tonight, just a little bit so I can touch on that material. Certainly, among examples of friends in the Scriptures, that's got to be one of the best examples that you can find of friends. And Jonathan particularly impresses me, because here he is, the son of the king. And here's this David coming out of nowhere, son of Jesse from down at Bethlehem, and he's going to be the king. And it's obvious to everyone, even if they didn't know all the anointing, David was the hero of Israel, and they sang his praises greater than Saul. So it was obvious the direction things were going, and not an ounce of envy out of Jonathan. Jonathan saw in David the characteristics that he admired, and his own personal ambition, if he had any, was laid aside for the love that he had for David. Jonathan's personal ambitions laid aside for the love he had for David. And it says that their love was closer than the love of a man would have for a woman. It had to be some kind of a perverted mind that would try to twist that into some kind of homosexual relationship. I guess the only thing they think of as love has to do with a physical sexual relationship, and that is so sad, because that's not what that's talking about. I tell you the kind of love they had a love that extended beyond the grave. Because after Jonathan was dead, David remembered the promise that he made to Jonathan, his friend, how that he would look after his family. And he found Mephibosheth, the one that was crippled, and brought him an heir of Jonathan. I think it was a grandson. It may have been a son or a grandson of Jonathan. Let him eat at his table after he became the king, out of friendship that he had for Jonathan himself. Isn't that just wonderful? That kind of friendship. So that is a good example of friends. But I'm going to do something else. I went to the book of Proverbs. And I thought, I'm going to read what the book of Proverbs says about friends. And just mark those passages down and then arrange them into a lesson. So I did that. And I'm going to show you what the book of Proverbs and a few other passages closely related to that says about friends. I'm going to do something else, though. I want to talk about three friends that you should have. I'll talk about at least two of them while I'm up here speaking. Depending on how the time goes, I may talk about the other one because I'm going to do the invitation too, so I feel like, well, I've got some extra time then. So I may let that spill over into the invitation. But that's what the lesson will be tonight. First, looking at what the book of Proverbs says about friends, and then talk about three special friends that you should have. So let's go to the book of Proverbs. Now, before we go, let me tell you something when you read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs expresses in nice little pieces. A lot of the book of Proverbs is written this way, not all of it, but a lot of it. Sometimes just one verse is a proverb. Sometimes they extend for more than one. But it expresses a truth. It's kind of like a truth you see in life. Now, it is not always a pleasant truth. It's not always a recommendation. It's not saying this is how things should be, and much of the Bible is explaining how things should be. The proverb just kind of tells you the truth about how things are. And when I looked at the book of Proverbs and was reading about friends, it impressed me that several times the proverbs tell us something that I wasn't expecting. That's this. If you want to have a lot of friends, you need to have a lot of money. Now, that's what Proverbs tells us. And that's just the truth of life. Here it is. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor. But the rich hath many friends. Now, Proverbs isn't saying that's the way it ought to be. It's telling us that's the way it is, isn't it? Proverbs 19:6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Look at Proverbs 19:4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now that teaches me that if you want to have a lot of friends, you need to have a lot of money. Look what else it says. I was thinking about that. It reminded me of that story of the prodigal son. Now, it doesn't really tell us here that he had a lot of friends, so I'm going to read between the lines just a little bit. But you know, he had his inheritance, and he went out, and look what it says about it. He wasted his substance with riotous living. That's why he was prodigal. Prodigal means wasteful. He's out there spending that money and just living like a fool and a lot of riotous living. But notice, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And you know what happened to him? He got out there and he's feeding the hogs, and it says he was so hungry, he would have eaten the husk that the hogs were eating. Well, what happened to all his friends when he lost all his money? That doesn't really say he had friends, but just kind of filling in the blanks on that story. I think you can see that. Those aren't the kind of friends that you really need. I remember when my job that I worked, when I was in the secular work, and I had a bunch of money come to me that we could spend on a lot of projects, you wouldn't believe how many friends I had, because I was supposed to decide how that money was spent, and all of a sudden I had friends I'd never even met before calling me up that just were so good and bragging on me and buttering me up because they thought, boy, I can influence him to get that money. I have seen that in life. If you want friends, you need to have money. You know, they don't ever call me anymore now that I'm retired. They forgot all about me. I don't have that money now, and they don't care what happened to me. Those aren't the kind of friends you have. You can have better friends than money friends. And we'll talk about that. But something else Proverbs does. Proverbs warns us about the wrong kind of friends. Now look at this. It says choose good friends. I put that there because look. See, we want good ones. Not just money friends, good ones. But now, here's the wrong kind of friends. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. That word fool. Remember this when you're reading Proverbs. It talks about the wise and the foolish, often in contrast. Now, this is not the intelligent and the ignorant. That's not what that's talking about. Or the intelligent and those different levels of intelligence. I'm necessarily the smart and the absurd. That's not what that means. The moral emphasis in Proverbs, and you'll see it, the wise man of the wisdom literature of the Bible, including Proverbs, is the man that acknowledges God in all his ways. And the fool is the one that says no to God. Like the Psalms, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. It's really just no God. He doesn't have room for God. He doesn't have God in his ways. And the wise man does. So remember, that's what distinguishes the wise man from the fool in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember that? Okay, so that's the difference. So what do we mean? A companion of fools shall be destroyed. You run around with a lot of folks, and they don't have any thoughts about God, or they don't care about God, or think God doesn't care, or it doesn't matter what they do. Well, you're on your way to destruction. You don't want fools to be your friends. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare unto thy soul. You pick up the ways of your friends, don't you? Now you do. You just watch it. You've got friends, and you all probably use some of the same expressions. And you all probably start talking about, you can almost anticipate how they feel about things and what they do. And you see it in young people a lot. Sometimes they'll just be talking just like their friends. They just pick it up. And you're going to pick up the ways of an angry man. You'll learn his ways, and it'll be a snare to your soul. Don't make friends with an angry man. Let's look at this. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. As you leave Morris going toward Manchester, off there on the left is the Last Chance Saloon. And on Saturday night, I see some cars parked out there, and I think, what an awful place to go to find your friends. I heard about one fella, one of the elders there at Morrison was telling me about him. Said, you know, you need to get to church and you need to be baptized. So what would happen to you if you were to die tonight? And he said, well, I'd go to hell. He said, well, you don't want that. And you know what he said? He said, I don't know. That's where all my friends are. Listen, that's the wrong kind of friends to have. And so you don't want to be among the winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. Those are not the kind of friends to choose. Here, Proverbs 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Now, a vain person is a person just chase after things that are worthless and without value. You want some friends, find some friends that you can work with. He tills his land. You find some people that are responsible, working people. Get out there and work with them and make friends with them on the job while you're working, and they'd be better friends than these vain persons, these people that follow after after things of no value. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Now look, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Your parents, if the young people were here, I'd talk to them. You know, as parents, you know, that you're concerned about the friends your children have. If they get the wrong kind of friends, you're ashamed of it, aren't you? Your children running around with the wrong crowd, you don't like that. And so the Proverbs expressing that truth there. And so 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Or as the American Standard Version will put it, evil companions corrupt good morals. You learn their ways. And if they're evil, your friends are evil, you're going to be evil with them because we're friends. And so Proverbs warns about the wrong kind of friends. Now, it also has to do with teaching us about the right kind of friends. Here's what it says. Now, I've already used this verse. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. But it started this way. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now, do you remember what wisdom is? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You walk around with godly folks, you have godly friends, it'll help you be godly. You walk around with people that have the fear of the Lord, and it'll put the fear of the Lord in you. Because you'll be like your friends, you'll learn their ways. Now look what it says here. A friend loveth at all times, and there's a brother born for adversity. That's why you don't want to buy your friends with your money. Because they'll love you when you have money, but then when the famine comes and you begin to be in want, they'll scatter and leave you with the hogs. You don't need those kind of friends. You need the kind of friends that love you through the tough times and will stay with you in the hard times. A friend like a brother, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, those of you that have siblings, regardless, they're your brother, they're your sister. If something happens, you're going to be there to help them. And they're friends like that, too. And so there's friends that are friends like your brother and your sister. And there are some friends that are even better than a brother. Look at this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sitteth closer than a, in the word you don't see down there, sitteth closer than a brother. And so you can have good friends that will stick to you. I mean, your brother will come help you, but you can have friends and develop friends in your life that they'll be more to you than your own brother. Oh, no. Own family and blood. And so that's how tight friendship can become. Here's some other things. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Now that's better than having a friend because they love your money. Is to have a friend that loves your pure heart and your gracious lips. Now you develop that pure heart and you learn to speak those gracious things, and those that value that will be your friend. Even a king wants to have a friend like that. Here, Proverbs 27:5-6. Watch this. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You want to have a good friend? You have a friend that is so good, they'll tell you, wait just a minute. What you're about to get into here is wrong. There are those that say, oh, I don't want to say anything. They're my friends. Says, oh, you got to stick up for them when they're doing something wrong. Listen, this friend is not going to be the friend that's going to see you doing something wrong on Facebook. No, they might even chastise you about it. And it can hurt. It can wound. The faithful are the wound of a friend. You need to have friends that are such good friends that they love you more than that friendship they have for you. And they'll let you know if you're not doing right. Here, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You've done that iron sharpening your knife. You know, you get friends and all they want to do is just go along with you. Then they may not be really the kind of friend you need. You need the kind you can rub up against and you can keep each other sharp and help each other out. Sometimes in my professional work, we get together groups. I warn them on these discussions. I say, you know, when everybody agrees to everything, it probably means somebody's not thinking. And so we need to be able to get to each other and be able to challenge each other on things. Not only are we carrying each other down, but we need to keep each other sharp. Now, that's a good friend to have. One that will keep you on your toes and keep you sharp. Now here's Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Oh, we need friends, don't we? I mean, it's good to enjoy good times with good friends. But it is so good that when those tough times come, and when you're down, you have fallen, but you've got a friend that's going to be there and help you get back up. Now that's a good friend. Now I want to go from that and learn the Proverbs, the three good friends you should have. Here's the first one. Say how much time I got. I got time, I think. Here's the first one. And this won't apply
to everyone. This first friend that I'm talking to, you really need to listen to this. If you are married, or if you plan to be married someday, because wives, you need to be a friend to your husband. And husbands, you need to be a friend to your wife. And of all the friends you have, you should have no better friend than your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Now, let me show you what the Bible says about that. Now, I know we get, when we're young, we see each other and we think somebody's cool or pretty or something, and you know, you have all this passion, you fall in love, and that's one thing. But a friendship is what you need. You don't need to just marry for passion. You need to marry with an idea. Now, we're going to be the best friends. And that means giving to one another and sacrificing to one another and putting the other one first. You see, that's what real love is about. And so be friends with one another. Now, the Bible talks about that. In fact, that's what God wanted. He wanted husbands and wives to be the very best friends. Here it is. Rejoice for the wife of thy youth. Now, that's not your young wife. I mean, when you just get married, this is the wife of your youth. It sounds like these folks have been married a while. And she was the wife of his youth. Now they're not young. But look what it says. Rejoice with her. Why, her joy is her. Share good times together and be happy that you have her. And let her see you happy with her. Look, Proverbs 12. Now, women, here is the way to be a friend to your husband. Okay? This is it. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh him ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. You want to be a friend to your husband? Virtue. He'll be so proud of you. He's got a good, godly wife, and he'll love you for your goodness' sake. And so, virtue is the way to be a friend to your husband. If you're doing things to your husband, if you make him ashamed, it's hard for him to love you. You're like rottenness in his bones. So, virtue, that's the way to love your husband. Now, here, Proverbs 18:22. Look at this, man. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, think about your wives. Isn't it good? Remember, she is a good thing. You just think of all the blessings that she is to you, all the things she does for you. And there's more to come, so I'll get to it in those passages. But remember, this is a good thing. I like some fella said, I never knew how happy a man could be till I got married, and then it was too late. Well, don't be like that. It's a good thing to be married. And the longer you're married, the better it'll get if you do it right. Now look at this. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I got to look at that word prudent. And it was interesting. You know, the Hebrew words are often words that go back to pictures. Some way you can visualize. Prudent wife. The wife is looking around. It's like that New Testament word, circumspect. That means looking around. I tell you what a prudent wife is for you husbands. Now, that might irritate you, but here it is. She's looking after you. She's in that car saying, you know, the speed limit here is 45 miles an hour. She'll tell you, you know, there's one pilot said, I like to go places with my wife. Because when I go places with my wife, she does all the driving. All I have to do is sit there and hang on the steering wheel. All right, what is she doing? Well, she's looking after you. There's a stop sign. Don't get that far. If you want to let her get all, you know. But she's always pointing out something to you and always reminding you of things and sometimes me is looking out for you. And that's the attitude you ought to have toward that. Every time that she does that, when she starts to get irritated to you, just say to yourself, "Your prudent wife is of the Lord." And be glad you have her, but she's looking out. And that's really what that word means. She's looking out for her husband. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And she shall have no need of any fault. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Now, why is that what you need to do to your husbands? God didn't send you here to pester him and to always try to fix him and to guide him and to ridicule him. You're here to do good and not evil for him. And so be a prudent wife. That's good. But also think, how can I do him some good? How can I help him out? I'm going to be his companion, his help, a help that is suitable for him, and be his friend. Here, Ecclesiastes 9:9, if I can quote the rest of it. Live joyfully with a wife whom I love all the days of thy vanity. Now that's what it says. You see, these days are passing. And this is all temporary. Everything under the sun is temporary. That's Ecclesiastes. Over the sun are the eternal spiritual things, and under the sun are the temporary earthly things. And this marriage is till death do us part, but death does part. Live joyfully with a wife upon you. All your live long days, that's all the days of your vanity. There's going to be a time you won't have her. I mean, you might go and leave her alone, or she might go and leave you alone, but while you've got each other, have joy in one another, and particularly in husbands. I know wives have a lot to do with setting the mood of the home that the husband does. And the husband can set that mood of joy in that home, and particularly joy that he's got his wife. And she'll receive that joy and be a wife for free. Does that mean I got
10 minutes.
I got 10 minutes. Okay. I may not get it all done. Let's just keep going here. Now, some folks put their wives away and they go off and marry some other woman. And the Lord doesn't like you to do that. And he was angry at Israel for doing that. And this is where it says the Lord came and put them away. But look, Malachi 2:14. The Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. They dealt treacherously with her by getting rid of her and going up and picking out one of these heathen women. The Lord didn't like that at all. And he said, yeah, she is my companion and the wife of my husband. Now that cousin, you've made a promise. You've made a covenant before God. And marriages are made in heaven. That which God has joined together, let not man put asunder. There's a covenant you're involved in. She's the wife of my covenant, but she's also my companion. Why, she's supposed to be your friend. And you don't deal treacherously with her and get rid of her for somebody else. Genesis 2:18. The Lord said it's not good that man should be alone. Now help make an help meet for him. That's not a help made. It's help meet. Meet is suitable. I'm going to make a helper for him that is suitable for him. Now the Bible teaches us and we can see it. It doesn't say it explicitly, but we can see, like it says, husbands love your wives. God made women in such a way then that those women are just going to thrive if they are loved. Women need God. Well, what do men need? Well, men need help, okay? Because that's what it says. He needs help. And so he gave her, so you help him. And it's good. He doesn't need love as bad as you do. But I tell you, she does. And she doesn't need help as much as you do. She needs your love. You love her. And you help him. And that will fulfill God's design. I'm going to run out of time, I know, but I want to talk about this. How the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. Look what he was supposed to do. Dress it and keep it. Dress it. Well, that means take care of it. You know, get out there and put the mulch around it and prune it and take good care of it, and then keep it. That's protected. Don't let things destroy it. And then he put woman in the garden. He put Eve there. What's Adam supposed to do? He's supposed to dress her and keep her. That's what he's supposed to do. She's going to thrive because he's going to take care of her and he's going to protect her. And we see it in the New Testament. That's not equal. That's Ephesians 5:29 through 30. So all men will love their wives of their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. I know what it says. Nourisheth and cherisheth it. You know what nourisheth and cherisheth means? It means to dress and keep. Nourish. When you give nourishment, that's food, something you need. You take care of it and cherish. You take something and cherish that. See, what are you doing? You're protecting it. Well, that's what you do to your wives, husbands. You take care of her and you protect her. And that's why God gave us. And what a joy it is, both for her and for you. Because it makes a man out of you. And it helps her be the lady that the Lord wanted her to be. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You take these fellows, you just don't understand that woman. Well, start paying attention to her and figure her out. It is a challenge, I know. It's a challenge. And the thing is, as soon as you get her all figured out, she moves on you. You know. So, it's kind of one of those challenges that just keep on going. But husbands, you're to understand her, dwell with her according to knowledge. And you may never fully figure this out, but you can be better and better at it as you go. And so that's what you need to decide to do. But then it says, as to the weaker vessel. And that doesn't mean physically weaker, I don't think. I think that's talking about the vessels in your home. You've got some old mop buckets, you know. I don't get any care what happens to them. But you've got some refined pieces. And you, what do you do with them? Well, you honor them. You put them on display. You keep them real pretty. You don't let anything happen to them. Husbands, you treat your wife like a beautiful dish. And not like an old mop bucket, okay? So she's the weaker vessel. It's honoring the weaker vessel. This is something special that you have. And so give honor to her. They heir together the grace of life. And that's the best life has to give you. And that's what God wants us to share together as husbands and wives. And then make your prayer be not hindered. You'll be a better Christian if you'll be a better husband to your wife, and she'll be a better wife to your husband. Your prayer will be better. And so we want to make sure that our husbands and wives are friends. Psalm of Solomon, 15:16, this is my beloved. This is my friend. I'm glad my best friend came tonight. She's been my best friend now 35 years. A little more than that because we were friends before we got married. But my best friend. And she is my beloved and she is my friend. Now that's the way husbands and wives will feel about one another. I've got 5 minutes to get through the next few friends you have, so I'll go quickly. But the next friend, this applies to everyone. The friend you need is you need to make friends of God's children. Friends of the brethren. I was talking about that fellowship, how we enjoy and love one another, and that's why we're all here tonight together. One of the reasons we just like to be together. There's a lot here, so let me go over it real quick. A new commandment I give you that you love one another. I love you that you love one another. By this men shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. 3 times there. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. John 15:12-17. This is my commandment that you love one another as I love you. These things I command you that you love one another. Are you getting through? Look. They need kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. That's making friends of your brethren. I know we got this agape love, and you even love your enemies with agape love, but this is phileo. Kindly affectioned. It's not just, well, I'll do what's good for you. I don't really like you, but I'm going to do what's right by you. That's the kind of love you have for your enemies. But not your brethren. It's like friends. That's what phileo is. It's friendship love. They kindly affection, and then it put brotherly love. That's the way it was in there twice. be highly affectioned with brotherly love. Both times he put that word phileo, preferring one another. And touching brotherly love. You need not that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 1:22, you purified your soul from man the truth and the spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren. That means you don't fake it. This love is true and real. It's not hypocritical. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Honor all men and love the brotherhood. Here. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love and brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That pitiful showing mercy for them. Be courteous. Be courteous to one another. Don't go around insulting each other, making it hard on each other. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, raving for raving, but contrariwise, clashing, knowing that you are there to call that you should inherit the blessing. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Some of the translations may have love there. That word charity really means love in action. Loving love in word, but also in deed. That's what's captured by that word. Charity and fervent charity among yourselves. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he gave us commandment. 1 John 4:7-8, 11-12. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, but he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Beloved, God so loved us, we also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love perfected in us. But we two friends. One, make sure your wife is your best friend, and your husband is your best friend. You know, the Bible says, leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. You leave your father and mother, you leave your wife, you leave your husband and mother too. Now, I'm not nothing wrong having husband and mother and husband, but I tell you what, your wife is more important than your husband is. Or your racing buddies, or your mud-bogging buddies, or whoever it is. Listen, your wife is first, and wives is the same thing. You can leave your girlfriends and cleave to your husband. He comes first, and let all the girls just be envious about that. Boy, she just pampers that man, let that man be proud and be pampered. And just take care of your husbands and take care of your wives, and then make friends with God's children. Love one another. Now, I'm looking.